So it is important that we remember David as a man of great faith and courage, but more importantly, we need to remember that David was great because of God's sovereign plan and divine will over his life. And I'll read that again. We need to remember that David was a great man of faith and courage, but more importantly, David was great because of God's sovereign plan and divine will over his life. And in our study today, this morning, in chapters 25, there are 44 verses to cover. But because we don't have the time to look over every single verse, we will likely miss some aspects of it. For example, if you've done your homework or you've read this, at the end of chapter 25, near the end, David marries Abigail of Moab and Ahinoam, somebody can tell me later, of Jezreel. So David marries these two ladies. Now, I won't discuss this point today, not because I'm afraid of discussing polygamy or the Old Testament kings having multiple wives and how it's relevant today, but if you're really, really gung-ho and passionate about this, take me out to lunch or take me out to coffee, and I would be more than happy to spend time and talk with you about polygamy and how that's relevant for you. So anytime, just let me know. So our focus today in 1 Samuel chapter 25, it continues this theme, which I said earlier, that David is great, but only because of God. So the story consists of these cast members. Now, in our story, we start to see some human aspects of David. And one human aspect is David has a temper issue, right? We begin to see some of the flaws of David. And in the story, if God had not intervened and stopped David and his men, most likely David would have committed a great crime against Nabal and Nabal's household. So in our study, if you have your Bibles, you might want to keep it open. But in verse 1, the author tells us that Samuel, the prominent judge and priest of Israel, dies. But then in verse 2 on, the author tells us that David and his band of misfits. Now, I'll stop here and just explain this. If you have your Bibles, turn to chapter 22, verses 2 to 3. That's 1 Samuel chapter 22, verses 2 to 3. And this is where I get this idea or this phrase, David and the band of misfits. It's been on my mind for the weekend, so I've just been using this term. So David departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brothers and all his father's house heard this, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress and everyone who was in debt and everyone who was bitter in soul gathered there with him and were about 400 men. And so we see that, so you have all these different, you have all these group of people. You have people who are in debt, people who are bitter in their soul, and people who are just in distress. Like, there were so many of them, they came to him, and David became the captain over them. So, in some ways, misfits, the definition for that is, people who don't fit into the world. And in some sense, all of these people that were with David were a bunch of people that did not fit into society. And so I have deemed them a band of misfits. Now, this is not biblical. No commentary will call them that, but I'm going to call them that. So if I'm incorrect, I'll talk to you guys later. So for the rest of this sermon, I'm going to be referring to David and the band of misfits. So in verse 2 on, the author tells us David and his band of misfits traveled to the wilderness of Paran, where he had heard that there was a very, very wealthy man. Now, the region of Maon is within the territorial kingdom of Israel. Now, the wealthy man's name is Nabal, which in Hebrew, it means fool. Now, this fool marries Abigail, an intelligent, beautiful, and wise woman. Now, just the name Nabal makes a lot of people wonder why the heck would anybody name their kid Nabal if you knew that the meaning of it was fool. So parents, if you're expecting word of encouragement, do not name your kid Nabal. You know, it's a pretty bad name unless you want to torture your kid and make their life miserable. So Abigail, on the other hand, is a very good name. You know, here in our story, Abigail is intelligent, she's beautiful, and she is wise. Now, what is a fool then? If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm chapter 14, verse 1. Now, you can have different definitions of what a fool is, but in the Bible, in the Holy Scriptures, they give, or the Bible gives us also a definition of what a fool is. A fool is in Psalms chapter 14, verse 1, and I'll read it out loud. The fool says in his heart, "There is no God. They are corrupt. They are abominable. They do abominable deeds. There is none who does good." So, in the sense, the Bible describes a fool as someone who first and foremost rejects the idea that there is a God, and secondly, because they reject that there is a God, they are corrupt and they do abominable things, and there is nothing good that comes out of their life. And so here, Nabal, in our story, he is the fool because he was filthy rich and didn't do anything good for others. Now, because he didn't do anything good for others, perhaps this by his actions tells us exactly that perhaps maybe he wasn't truly a follower of God based on his behavior and his demeanor. How do we know he's filthy rich? Our text tells us that Nabal had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And it was around this time, there was this festival season when the farm owner would bring all of his sheep to be sheared, meaning where they cut off the wool, I guess, and use it for clothing and whatnot. So there's this great festival where you bring all your sheep in. So there's 3,000 sheep that he would shear and turn into clothing and whatnot. And during this great time, there would be a festival where there would be a lot of eating and drinking and being happy. So during this time, David and his band of misfits knew that it was a good time to request for some provisions, right? So let's read, let's turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 25, and I'll read to you the account, verses 5 to 12. Chapter 25, verses 5 to 12. So David sent 10 young men, and David said to the young men, "Go up to Carmel, and go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus you shall greet him, 'Peace be to you, and peace be to your house, and peace be to all that you have. I hear that you have shears. Now your shepherds have been with us, and we did them no harm, and they missed nothing all the time they were in Carmel.'" Verse 8, "Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes, for we come on a feast day. Please give whatever you have at hand to your servants and to your son David." When David's young men came and said all this to Nabal in the name of David, and they waited. And Nabal answered David's servants, "Who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants these days who are breaking away from their masters. Shall I take my bread and my water and my meat that I have killed for my shearers and give it to the men who come from I don't know where?" So David sends his men to greet Nabal in a very respectful manner. David's men reassures Nabal that they are good people with no wrong intentions at all. In fact, David and his band of misfits even reminds Nabal that during this time they protected the citizens and even Nabal from enemies like the Amalekites and the other predators and whatnot. So in fact, when Nabal is informed that David and the band of misfits, they were not just good, but they were providing protection and care for him, his property, his possessions. And Nabal responds to these 10 men and David and says, essentially rejects this request and says, who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? And even accuses David of being rebellious and breaking off from the kingdom of Saul. And then we see in verse 36 of chapter 25, this is how Nabal responds. So Abigail comes back to Nabal, and behold, he was holding a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. And so not only did he not provide and not give to David and his men, but he partied like there was no tomorrow, and he drank and he ate like there is no tomorrow, and he was so drunk that it was just self-indulgence to the max. It was gluttony to the max. So it really spoke of how foolish Nabal was. Foolish in the sense that he never did good for anybody else. So I suspect that there is a biblical connection here between Nabal and Saul, King Saul. Both are foolish in their rejection of David, God's anointed, and as a result of their foolishness, as a result of their foolishness, God gives them over to their hardened hearts. Right? We see in chapter 25 of 1 Samuel verses 36 to 38 that God gives Nabal over to his self-indulgence, and his heart became hardened, and in 10 days he dies. But same thing with Saul, because in chapter 26 of 1 Samuel, we see that Saul tries to kill David again. Right? His heart became overwhelmed, and he wanted to kill David again. And this is how David responds. David sort of makes a prophecy in chapter 26. So if you have your Bibles, turn to chapter 26, verses 9 to 10. And this is speaking about King Saul, verses 9 to 10. And David said to Abishai, "Do not destroy him," referring to Saul. "For who can put out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?" Verse 10. And David said, "As the Lord lives, the Lord will strike him, for his day will come to die, or he will go down into battle and perish." So here, because Saul was foolish, God gives him over to his foolishness, and even speaks through David to prophesy that Saul himself will die in battle. And we see that in chapter 31, where Saul and Jonathan and a lot of his men dies in battle against the Philistines. So, there is a clear connection between Nabal and Saul here, in that in their foolishness and in their greed, God punishes them. And God gives them over to this. Nabal, he was, in as the Bible describes, a good-for-nothing, foolish, greedy, self-indulgent person. And as a result of that, God punished him to death. Saul, likewise, he was foolish in his heart. He disobeyed God. He had a murderous rage against not just King David, but he killed a bunch of God's priests in Nob in chapter 22. He had jealousy in his heart and rage to the point where he insults his family, but he insults God, and he desires to just go after and murder David. And God gives Saul over to his foolishness. And as a result, Saul dies in battle. So brothers, sisters, friends, there are important lessons to be learned from Nabal and Saul. And the first lesson is, do not return evil for good. I'll say that again. Do not return evil for good. David and the band of misfits provided protection for Nabal and his property and his possessions. But Nabal returned evil to David, not providing food or drink. And today, it's been said a couple times already, we celebrate Remembrance Day. Or in the States, we celebrate Veterans Day. This day, we remember all the men and women who fought to keep Canadians free from the tyranny of evil and of evil. We have our freedom because these men and women were willing to die to ensure we have our freedom and our peace in Canada today. So how do we honor them? By not participating in unjust violence, by not participating in hateful actions, by not participating in evil, by not participating in racism and prejudice. Because these are the very things that our veterans, men and women, soldiers, fought to keep out of Canada. So do not return evil for good. The second lesson we can learn from Nabal and Saul is, do not make yourself into an idol and worship your own accomplishments and possessions. I'll say that again. Do not make yourself into an idol and worship your own accomplishments and possessions. See, Nabal and Saul, they were self-righteous in their own eyes. They thought highly of themselves. They boasted in their accomplishments, but in the Lord's eyes, they were foolish and rebellious. God gave them over to their sins. You know, we need to be careful. We need to be careful with our outlook about ourselves, about our accomplishments, about our possessions. Let's just say, for example, if you get into a prestigious school like SFU or UBC or any school that is in your heart's desire, is it about you or is it about God who enables you? Let's just say if you get promoted in your job, is it about you? Is it about me? Or is it about God who enables me? You know, when I have extra money and food, is it about me? Or is it about God who blesses me in order to feed others? So brothers, sisters, friends, do not make yourself into an idol and worship your own accomplishments and possessions. It's a very dangerous thing. See, we know that Nabal and Saul were foolish. We've established that. We got that. So as we continue our study, so after Nabal rejects David and his band of misfits, David becomes enraged. Like he comes crazy angry. So he gets so enraged when he finds out the news. He tells 400 of his misfits to strap on their swords and get ready to march into Maon and kill Nabal as well as all the men in Nabal's household. David was about to act on his own human emotions. And by killing Nabal, David would have committed a great crime and essentially becoming like Saul. So no matter how much Nabal offended David, murder is never justifiable. When someone insults you, it does not give you the permission to kill that person. You know, lately, a lot of people have been coming up to me and saying things about my weight gain. You know, just because they offend my physical appearance does not allow me to sit on them or bring harm to them. It's not justifiable. So, how does God prevent David and his band of misfits from committing this terrible, terrible act? Well, God uses Abigail and a servant of Nabal. Abigail is informed by a servant of what Nabal said to David, and she hastily gathers up food and provisions and everything that David needed and made her way to meet David and his misfits. So when she gets there, she pleads on behalf of Nabal, and even to the point where she is willing to take upon the punishment of her own husband. So Abigail speaks into David's life, and she's pleading. And David responds in verses 32 to 35 of 1 Samuel chapter 25. It says, "And David said to Abigail, 'Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. Blessed be your discretion, and blessed be you who have kept me this day from blood guilt and from avenging myself with my own hand. For as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, who has restrained me from hurting you, unless you have hurried and come to meet me, truly by morning there had not been left to Nabal as much as one male. Then David received from her what she had brought him, and he said to her, "Go up in peace to your house. See, I have obeyed your voice." That's important. See how, this is what David says to Abigail. "See, I have obeyed your voice, and I have granted your petition." You know, it is my prayer that God would continue to use people to speak into our lives. You know, and equally important, I hope that God would allow us to take to heart godly instructions from godly people speaking into our lives. Many years back when I was a young teenager, long time ago, my mom always told me not to hang out with certain particular crowds of people. And her reasoning is because they will get you killed one day. And I was foolish, so I never listened to my mom. And I kept hanging out with different groups of people. And these groups of people were various types of troublemakers. We got into fights. We would steal cars. We would steal electronics. We would steal video games. We would steal food. I would even steal from my own parents. You know, hanging out with certain friends and certain people essentially got me even kicked out of high school. It even got me shot, and at some point I should have been dead, but not dead, solely by the grace of God. And like David, I see so much of my life, my actions, my life choices, my accomplishments, not as anything to boast about or to even brag about. Apart from obedience to God, my life was and is not great at all. And like David, today, as a pastor, as a minister, I too have my shortcomings. I have my failures, times of wanting to do really foolish things. But like David, and by the grace of God, God brings people into my life. Sometimes people I don't really expect to speak biblical truth into my life. So church, Burnaby Pacific Grace, I hope that God would empower you to receive for you to receive and for you to speak biblical truth into each other's lives for edification and for spiritual growth together in Christ. And hopefully God would empower us to be obedient to his truth. And so the other lessons learned, I forgot to flip this. When somebody insults you, it does not give you permission to harm one person. And the last one is listen to people who speak biblical truth into your life. It could very well be that God is speaking through them to speak into your life, probably because we need it. And so as I close, I would like to invite the worship team to come up. Yes, worship team. As I close, I want us as a church to prepare our hearts to sing the song which we already sung, "Be Thou My Vision." You know, in this life, Christians need life together. But more importantly as well, Christians need God to be our leader. You know, this morning, this day, if you are needing forgiveness of sins because of your disobedience, or simply needing God to lead you, to be a part of your life, no, not just a part, but to be the main part of your life, may you use this time to pray this song, the lyrics of this wonderful, wonderful hymn, "Be Thou My Vision," and may God speak into your life, into your heart, and into your mind. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you, that as long as you live, Lord, your will continues to be accomplished in our life. So, Father, we pray that you would help us, Lord, to be humble enough where we would lay our life down and just ask and give our life to you so that you may lead us, so that you may bring people into our life and speak truth into our life. Father, help us to not be foolish in our ways, but instead, Lord, help us to receive correction, receive edification, receive teaching, receive all of these things in humility. Holy Spirit, help us, Lord. And for those of us who are struggling, who've just been living in sin and disobedience and needing forgiveness, Father God, I pray that you would give them forgiveness, Lord. Help them to humble themselves, to come before you and repent and ask for forgiveness. And Lord, may you respond and give forgiveness, because the blood of Jesus Christ is good enough to wash away all sins. In Jesus' name, amen.